Well, good evening. Please take your hymnal, turn to number 522 as we begin this evening, Since I Have Been Redeemed. Number 522, please. Prepared for me. And then to 281, my Lord will come, maybe soon, maybe today. 281, let's stand as we sing, please. Thank you. may be seated.
Our memory verses for the month are in Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Since it may be today that the Lord will come for us, I hope that we're anticipating His coming and that we can face Him unashamed, knowing that all of our sins are covered not by our own efforts, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll say the reference, the verses, and then repeat the reference. Daniel 12, 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12, 2 and 3. Thank you for being here this evening to share in this service. If you're a visitor with us tonight, we're happy to welcome you and trust that God will use this time here with us to be a blessing to your heart. And we just look forward to the opportunity of sharing together tonight from the Word of God and through the music and through every part of the service. I'd like to remind the ladies about the announcement in the bulletin concerning your meeting on Tuesday night of Women for Missions. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Hope you'll read over the information that's in the bulletin and that you'll make every effort to be here. Remember, Wednesday night, our service will start at 7 o'clock, and that will be our schedule throughout the summer for Wednesday evenings. There will be a meal served for the choir and others who have to be here early, and you need to sign up for that tonight so that they'll know how many to count on. So starting Wednesday, 7 o'clock instead of 7:30. And also, as a part of our service on Wednesday evening, we'll be voting on the budget for the next fiscal year starting July 1st. There are copies of this proposed budget back at the reception desk. Hope you'll pick one up as you go out tonight. Look it over. If you have any questions, call Dennis Pegram tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, and he'll be glad to talk with you about it. It's one thing to vote on the budget. It's another thing to meet that budget. So I hope as we're considering the vote, we'll consider what God would enable us to do to see that budget is met. And next Sunday, then, is our dinner on the grounds next Sunday evening. Hope you're planning to come for that. We have in the bulletin here a lot of instructions as to what to bring, where to park, and where to sit, and such things as that. If you just can't bring any food, still like to have you come anyhow. And if you're a visitor with us tonight, you'd come back next week. Of course, we wouldn't expect you to bring anything. And remember, next Sunday will be a special day in commemorating 50 years in the gospel ministry for Bob and Nancy Shelton. And if you haven't brought a card for them as yet, just a card of greeting or a note, please do that Wednesday night, or you can bring it next Sunday morning, but don't hand it to them. Give it at the reception desk, and we'll give that to them all at one time, or those to them all at one time. And we are trying to keep this a secret, if at all possible. But we appreciate the Sheltons and their faithful ministry to the Lord over these years, and we believe they deserve some commendation and recognition for this. So we'll do that some in the service next Sunday morning, and then more in the service on Sunday evening. We'll be having some special features through the day, and I know you can rejoice with them in this, and hope you'll pray that this will be a special time, special blessing for the Sheltons. Other announcements in the bulletin that I would ask you to heed. We don't have our offering report for this last month as yet. We'll have that next Sunday. It was a good month. Last Sunday wasn't too good, but we thank you for your giving week after week and for your faithfulness in supporting the work here. In just a little bit, we'll be receiving your tithes and offerings for this evening. There's also this class on Introduction to Sign Language. I don't know how many of you are interested in that, but if you are, read that information. Plan to attend that class this coming week. As far as prayer requests are concerned, Ralph Payne will have an echocardiogram tomorrow. Pat Federoff will see an oncologist tomorrow. Roberta Fitton will have surgery tomorrow. Lowell Dawkins will have surgery on his shoulder on Thursday. Wanda Smith will have a surgical biopsy on June the 10th. That'll be a week from tomorrow. Lois Polson had wrist surgery last Friday. I want to pray for her recovery. We're glad that Mildred Ayers is able to be with us this evening. She's not able to come very often, but we're glad that she's here tonight. And then we want to pray for John Peary's family as his grandfather passed away. I believe he lived in California. We're glad that the New York team arrived safely home, or at least most of them did. And doesn't mean the others aren't safe, but they didn't all come back. But Wednesday evening, I think they're going to give us a report, and there's a lot of excitement about what God did there. So I trust you can be here for that on Wednesday evening. Pastor and Mrs. Conley are on vacation this week. They'll be back next Sunday. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place to receive your offering for this evening, and Pastor Lehman will lead us in our prayer.
Father, we thank you that we can, in our own lives, be prepared the best that we possibly can be, that you're going to come home, bring us home to be with you today. Help us not to get so consumed and caught up in the affairs of this world and our own schedules and all that we'd like to accomplish that we neglect the most important meeting that we're going to have. That's to be with you. And whatever occurs in our lives is directing us and preparing us to be more like Christ. We think especially of these that today are anticipating meeting someone tomorrow or this next week that will provide a surgical procedure, an evaluation of some health concern. Some anticipation is always before each person that sees a physician. Lord, I pray you'd calm these folks in a very special way, that only as you provide the peace that passes all understanding will be in their lives. We think of those procedures that are taking place this week, and I ask that you'd bless in a special way, that the doctors would have real wisdom. You'd give them the ability to diagnose and take care of that concern that's before these individuals. We think of others that are at home rehabilitating. Pray that you'd continue to bless them. For families that right now are grieving the loss of a special loved one, we ask that you'd be with these family members. And then we think of the funeral service that will be taking place this next week for the Peary's. We know that there are some unsaved family members, grandchildren, and ask that you'd allow this to be a special opportunity for these to come to know Christ as Savior. We thank you for this opportunity that we have together this evening. Pray that we would look forward to with anticipation with what you have for us tonight. Bless Pastor as he preaches. Pray that you'd undertake in his speaking, the presentation of your word, that, Lord, we would continue to see Christ. Pray also that you'd allow us as we give to rejoice in the privilege of giving back to you. Well, thank you now for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank Jason Stepoff and the choir for their beautiful ministry to us tonight. And our hearts were blessed with Nathan Ilg's offertory. So, Nathan, we thank you also. After our next song, Steve Kaminsky will be coming to sing for us. So if you'll turn, please, to number 398 in your hymnal, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. 398. Let's stand, please, as we sing together.
Scorners who are But there's never been one moment he's not loved me as his own. Send your light, Lord, now to lead me. Send your truth my way.
Thanks, Steve, for this great message and song. A lot of truths in there. One, that there's never been a moment that the Lord has not loved us. He loves us every moment of our lives. Thank you, Steve. Let's turn to Proverbs 29 and verse 18, which is a well-known verse. We'll look at just the first part of it. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. No vision. Now, there are several definitions for the word vision. One is a supernatural revelation, such as God gave to the Old Testament prophets before there was a Bible. He spoke to them often through visions. A vision is something seen in a dream. All of us have had dreams and do have dreams. And some say their dreams come from God and God reveals truth to them. He no longer does that. Again, he spoke to the Old Testament prophets, patriarchs, often in their dreams. A vision is a product of the imagination. Just imagine that we see something or we conceive something. In our minds. It's there for a moment, it's gone. Or it may be there for a longer period of time. But it's simply that which we conceive in our minds, in our thoughts. Vision is what we have through our eyes. We're seeing people tonight, and we see through our eyes. We have vision. A person or a thing of extraordinary beauty is sometimes referred to as a vision. You men fell in love with you, the ladies who are now your wives, you said, there, she's just a vision. And then it's perception or foresight. Perception or foresight. And this, it's this last definition to which we're going to give our attention this evening. Perception or foresight is the ability to see possibilities that do not presently exist, or the realities of that which is presently unseen. Now, unsaved people are people of no vision when it comes to spiritual truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Because they believe not, their minds are closed, their minds are blinded to spiritual truth. They have no vision of it." They have no vision of the eternal consequences of sin. We're talking about sin this morning, and certainly sin does have eternal consequences. And there are people who shrug their shoulders at the mention of eternal destruction, or they joke about hell, or seem to be completely unconcerned about the eternal destiny of their souls. In order to do that, they had to be blind. Somebody has no concern about his eternal destiny. If he jokes about hell, he says, I'm going there because all my friends are going there. We're going to have one grand party. He has no vision of eternal destruction. We often hear the expression that war is hell. And war is a terrible thing. Must be a taste somewhat of what hell is like. I read in a magazine article about the tornado that struck Xenia, Ohio several years ago. And the title of that article was, The Day Hell Came to Our Town. People who've had the experience of coming through disastrous earthquakes have called them hell on earth. Others speak of a living hell when referring to some tragedy that they have experienced. But war is not hell. A tornado is not hell. An earthquake is not hell. Nothing else we can experience in this world is hell. Put wars and tornadoes and earthquakes and any half dozen other terrifying experiences together, and you don't have anything even to compare with the most remote corner of hell, that place of eternal torment and destruction. Not only is the degree of suffering in hell worse than anything that could take place here on earth, but the duration of it is so much worse. Wars last only a few years at the longest. Tornadoes and earthquakes may last for a few minutes. All the destruction is there, but the actual event comes and it goes in a hurry. But hell is forever and forever. So I say that people who joke about hell, who make fun of hell, who have no concern about hell, do so because they really have no vision. They have no spiritual understanding of what hell is. They have no vision of the present consequences of sin, let alone the eternal consequences. Not all the payment of sin is reserved for eternity. I know Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but sin also has a payday in this life. Biggest payday, the lasting payday, will be in eternity forever. But sin pays off here, not in blessing, not in blessing, but in trouble, in difficulty, in all kinds of terrible things. Broken bodies, result of sin. AIDS is one example of that. How many bodies today are devastated by the disease of AIDS that has come about because of immorality in the lives of those who have it? Not every AIDS victim, but most of them. And so their bodies are broken. That's a present consequence of sin. Broken lives, alcohol, other drugs take a person's life and devastate it, where they have no self-respect. They're not able to control themselves, can't hold a job, can't earn money, can't keep their families together. It is a present consequence, broken lives, broken careers. I think of these Catholic priests. Surely most of them are not saved. Those who have been involved in the immorality, giving themselves to a life of pastoring, so to speak, and yet their careers have been cut off and shortened because of the present consequence of sin. We talked this morning about covering sin, and they've tried to cover their sins, but the sins are coming out, and so their careers are broken. Broken families. We know well that that takes place because of the present consequence of sin. That's not in eternity. That's here and now. And some of you here this evening have experienced that. And broken hearts. So many hearts that are broken because of the present consequences of sin. A lady called me one time and she said, oh, if I could only get others to see what the past 4 years have done to me. If I could only get others to see what the past 4 years have done to me. She was suffering the present consequences of sin. Unsaved people are not the only ones with vision problems. We as Christians have them too. We fail to see what sin can do to us. While it doesn't have the same eternal consequences, it has the same present consequences as it does for the unbeliever. For here again, bodies have been broken. Bodies of believers broken over sin. Lives have been broken. Careers, families, many broken hearts because of sin. And we fool ourselves if we think we can sin and get away with it, not pay any price, or that we can cover our sins, as we talked about this morning, and that will be the end of them. No one will ever find them out. Nothing will ever come of them. But we're blind if we believe that for a moment. Even though, in one sense, our minds have been enlightened by the Word of God and our minds have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, yet if we play with sin and we don't see that there are terrible present consequences of sin, then in that area, we're blinded. We have no vision. And we fail to recognize the awful reality of hell for those who die without Jesus Christ. You know, if we really stop and concentrate on the fact of hell and what the Bible tells us about hell. I mean, it's something we don't like to think about, and consequently, we don't think about it very much. We don't want to imagine that there are people all around us who are dying day by day and are passing out into eternity, lost forever. William Munsey was a preacher from the 19th century, and he has a tremendous message on the awfulness of eternal punishment. And let me just read a short description that he gives about eternity and the duration of suffering. He says, "O eternity, let thy ages tramp, thy cycles roll, but thou canst not crumble or scar the walls of hell, or rust and break its locks, or silver the hair of God, who has sworn by his eternal self that the sinner shall die. The pendulum of thy horologe over the gates of woe vibrates through all eons and says, forever and ever, forever and ever. Its sounding bell striking off the centuries, the ages, the cycles. The appalling monotony of its pendulum, going, 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 repeating still forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever, O eternity. God has wound up thy clock, and it will never run down, and its tickings and beatings are heard by all the lost, forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever." No vision of hell. I'm afraid we don't really have it. If we all had an awareness of the awful reality of hell, it would change our lives, it would change our concerns, it would change our efforts in reaching the lost. And then we fail to see the possibilities of what could be accomplished in our service for God. There are reasons why I like to live my life over again. But one of them is that I would hope that I would be a person of greater vision, of seeing what God is able to do as we are faithful to Him, in first of all living for Him and then in serving Him. Now, whatever is done that is worthwhile, we know that God has to do it, but He does use us as His instruments many times in doing what is done. I talked to you recently about advancing the gospel this summer, and I'm making an impact for God. And many of you are involving yourselves in doing that right now. You're putting forth that kind of an effort to advance the gospel, to seek to make an impact for God in the place where you are. And I thank God for you. But for many others, these challenges have just passed over your head. They've taken no root in your mind or in your heart. Your response has been, there isn't any more I can do for God, or there isn't anything I can do for God. And you've named over some reasons why you can't advance the gospel and why you can't make an impact for God. And none of those are valid reasons. Oh, there might be some particulars in there. But the overall reasons that you're giving are only excuses, because if we're here, if we're alive, and we're in our right mind, we have our faculties about us, there is something. Something every one of us who knows Jesus Christ can do to advance the gospel and to make an impact for God in this world. Either you're convinced there's nothing you can do to advance the gospel or make an impact, or you just don't care to do either. And your problem is simply this: no vision. No vision. Where would we be if the early church that we talked about last Sunday evening had no vision? If they hadn't gone out and spread the gospel as they went, referred to as those that turned the world upside down, where would we be? We'd probably still be in heathen darkness if the early church had not had a vision of what God could do and were willing to be used of God in doing it. To think that America would be in complete spiritual darkness if there were an America, and we'd be ignorant of the Word of God, and we'd not have the Word of God as we have it today. Where would we be as a nation if the 40 men who signed the U.S. Constitution had no vision? We probably wouldn't even be a nation today. But they had vision when they brought that Constitution together, when they signed it and became the supreme law of our land. And where would this church be? It's just one church. Just one congregation. But where would it be and what would it be doing if we hadn't had some men of vision years ago like P.E. Collins, John Miller, O.E. Brown? They were charter members. They were lifetime trustees. They'd gone to be with the Lord. We've tried to honor them a little bit by naming buildings after them, the Collins Building, the Miller Activity Center, and the Brown Building. But I remember we were down on Hampton Avenue and we'd get together, a little group of us, and there were one or two men here tonight that were in that group as well. And I'm only naming these that have gone on because I'll forget to name others if I name present people. But we would talk about maybe moving one day. And Mr. John Miller said, you know, I can envision the time that we're going to need an auditorium that seats 500 people. And we laughed him to scorn. 500 people? We would ever need an auditorium that large? Now, he wasn't an extraordinary man. He wasn't a wealthy man. He wasn't a greatly educated man. He was a man who loved the Lord. He had his faults like we all have. But he was a man who had vision to see that God had something else in store for this ministry. And Mr. Brown, Mr. Collins, same way. And so these men, I mean, humanly speaking, these men are responsible for us moving to this location 32 years ago and for being here today. Is this the kind of vision that you have? Or is it something you don't have? Now, some have greater vision than others. Some have a stronger vision than others. But we either have a vision or we don't have it. Now, some probably have more natural vision than others, but I believe God can give any of us greater vision if we will only use what we have. That's the way God works. We've got to use what we have in any area. Say, I wish I could be a soul winner like Gene Gerganis or like Dick Knox or some of these other men here in the congregation. Wish I could be a soul winner like that. You could be if you used what you had. God isn't going to give you a great power and great ability if you're not using what you already possess. And so it is with vision. If we don't exercise our vision, how can we expect God to give us greater vision? God can do it. How's He apt to do it? Number one is through His Word. We got to make more of the Word of God. I've got to do that in my life. I've been so lax and really getting the right place to the Word of God. And we're not going to have increased vision until we're familiar with God's Word and we continue to read God's Word and we get a picture of God. We get a vision of Him, first of all. Then we get a vision of man. And we get a vision of sin, of heaven and hell and all those eternal truths. But we've got to start with the Word of God. The more we really spend in God's Word, the more we give to God's Word in our lives, the greater our vision will tend to be. That's number one. Number two, we need to read the biographies of great men and women, of vision, of those who have gone before us, maybe in the area of education, Christian education, maybe in the area of missions, maybe in the area of evangelism. We need to read about these people. See how they were used of God and how God gave them vision. To see the possibilities that were before them and to realize the reality of things they could not see. So we do well to spend some time reading biographies. It's all right to read other things as well. But we ought to do that. And I'm speaking to myself as well. And then we need to dwell on all the possibilities that are before us. We're not going to see them all. But we're here as a congregation. We're here as a fellowship of believers. And some of us see some possibilities. And others of us see other possibilities. And we need to try to dwell on those possibilities and see which of them are really possible for us and which ones we ought to pursue and which ones perhaps we should not pursue. And that's happened many times during the history of this church, where people have gotten together and they've talked over the possibilities. And as I've said to you so many times, I see such great possibilities out there for this church yet in the future. We can lose what we have, or we can take what we have, and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in the time that we have, we can do great things for God. Not for our glory, but for God's glory. And of course, it's God that has to do it, but He's going to do it through us. Or we can just be comfortable with coming and it's a nice air-conditioned building on a 95-degree day outside and enjoy the music and listen to the message and be no more moved than that and go out just as we came in with no sense of opportunity or possibilities before us. We need to dwell on the possibilities. We need to keep company with people of vision. Don't keep company with folks that are always defeated and always saying, oh, things are in a terrible shape. And they are, but God's still in control. And we need to try to keep company with people that see some of the possibilities and have vision for what God is able to do even in a day like this. I mean, we go back to that early church. They lived in a world more pagan than our world today. They had all the sins that we have. And there are fewer of them. I mean, here we are, millions of true born-again believers in this world. And the world's not saying about us today that we're turning it upside down, are they? Not at all. But we need a company with people of vision. And then we need to pray for greater vision. Pray that God would open our eyes and God would enable us to see, as we talked about, to see the consequences of sin in our own lives, the awful reality of hell for those who live and die without Jesus Christ, and the possibilities that are before us in regard to what we can do for God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We can't take lightly what God has entrusted to us. We can't do that and please God. We can do it, but we can't please God by doing it. And sometimes God uses seemingly insignificant statements or experiences to open our eyes and to give us a vision. Robert Moffat, years ago, was a missionary to India. He came back to England on furlough, and he told about a vantage point he could take in Africa on a mountaintop, where he could look out over the valley in front of him. And he said, as I sit there and I stare out at that valley, I see the smoke from the fires of 1,000 villages where no one has ever gone with the gospel. And it was a young man that heard Robert Moffat say that. That was David Livingston. And David Livingston got a vision of the smoke coming up from 1,000 villages where no one had ever gone with the gospel. Now that was just a rather insignificant thing that Robert Moffat said. But God used that to give a vision to David Livingston, who went and became great missionary that he was. So listen. Listen. God might have somebody say something to you. You might read something. You might hear it. It's something that God can use to build a vision for some future work that He has for you to do, for something that He has for you to accomplish in this world. It's a terrible thing to have no vision. And yet our text says, where there is no vision, the people perish. People cast off restraint. And because sinners don't have a vision of hell and of eternal suffering, they're living the lives they're living today. And even we as believers are casting off some of our restraints and are living more for this world than we are for God and for eternity. But God wants us to be people of vision, seeing the present consequences of sin, the awful reality of hell, and also to see the possibilities that are before us in our service for Him. Shall we pray? Father, help us to ask ourselves tonight, how's my vision? Do I understand that there are present terrible consequences to sin that will result in all kinds of sad things? Do we have, Lord, a concept of the awful reality of hell, where sinners are going to perish forever? Do we have a vision of what we can do as a fellowship of believers here to advance the gospel this summer, to make an impact for Thee in this world? And every one of us can share in it in some way if we want to. It may seem small. It may be that we can't do what others can do. But Lord, every one of us can do something if we will. Help us to find what You'd have us to do. Lord, help us to learn that and make us people with greater vision as we stay in Your Word, as we read about people of vision, as we look at the possibilities, as we keep company with people of vision, and as we pray for it. Could be this evening, our Father, that there's someone here whose eyes have been blinded by the god of this world concerning their sin and what awaits them in eternity. They are not yet believers. But Lord, the Holy Spirit can break through that blindness. That we know that is true, or none of us would be saved, because we all once were blinded by the god of this world. But Your Holy Spirit and Your truth broke through the blindness and gave us sight and helped us to see ourselves as we were. And helped us to see that in Jesus Christ there was hope and there was forgiveness of sin and there was the gift of eternal life. God, I pray for anybody who's here tonight who's been blinded by the devil, that You might help them to see. You might break through upon their senses and help them to know, Lord, You love them. There's never been a time You didn't love them. There's never been a time You haven't thought about them. There hasn't been a time when You haven't longed for them to come to Thee. So You welcome sinners tonight to come to Yourself. And Lord, if You'd speak to us, if You have spoken to us as believers about our vision, I pray, Father, that we would be willing to do all that You'd have us to do, that we might have greater vision, stronger vision, as we're here in this world. We know the best vision we can have is of Thee and of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Clarify our vision of Him. May we see Him through our eyes of faith, and may we love Him and seek to please Him. For His sake I ask it. Amen. We're going to sing number 401. If you're here without Christ tonight, you're not yet a believer, maybe God has broken through in your blindness. He does that. He does it in somebody's mind every day because there are people saved every day. If He's shown you that you're a sinner and you need salvation, we invite you to come and let us show you from the Word of God how to be saved. Have somebody pray with you and talk with you. If you as a believer, God's spoken to your heart some area tonight about your vision or something else. You need to talk to somebody. You need to pray with somebody. You need to come and kneel at the altar. We have prayer rooms here at the side. If you'd like to go there, feel free to go there and pray as long as you like. Just do business with God tonight. Let's stand together. 401. Think about those words as the instruments play through one time, and then we'll sing the next stanza. But think about those words. Look at them in that first verse. Dwell upon them while the instruments are playing. Second stanza. You ought to come. Father, as we have sung these words, they're a prayer, and I trust they've been from our hearts, that indeed You would open our eyes to give us the vision to see, You would open our ears to hear your eternal truth. You open our mouths to speak that truth. Father, we ought to be bold. Your word says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And yet we find ourselves being as timid as sheep. But give us a holy boldness. Now, Lord, may our lives match our words. Our words are not going to be of any value if our lives don't match them. So open our mouths and help our lives to be what they ought to be. I thank you again for this ministry here at Hampton Park. I thank you for the people that you've given us. Many of them here for long years. I thank you for the buildings that you've allowed us to have. For the funds that come in week after week to maintain the ministry here and to carry on our missionary program. But Lord, there's so much out there that could be done if we have the vision to go ahead and do it. I pray to that end, for Christ's sake. Amen.